particularly as an owner. And in this particular case, like Kyla mentioned, he wanted or expected that when Little Jewel ran back, they would have IRAD. And then he's unavailable because he's at Tampa. So you start going through the jocks room, and you end up with a low-profile journeyman. And he gives you a Hall of Fame ride. If you haven't seen it, I mean, that kid absolutely threads a needle. I thought to my, you know, because I bet the horse, anybody that heard me in the background knows I bet the horse. I thought, oh, she's gonna get stopped. And then, whoa, she's through. And she kept forging. It was great. If he had tried to kick wide, I don't think she wins. Speaking, by the way, I've got a couple of seconds here. Let me see if I can pull up the name real quick. Emmanuel Giles. Manny Giles. I assume he goes by Manny. I was calling him Manny. He's got 19 career wins and 119 starts. So far this year, he's 5 for 20. And the other day at Hawthorne, I'm trying to find the race. Here it is. A maiden winner, War Room. War Room. Just a 5-horse field. This for Joe Lesowitz. And this kid, Manny Giles, the horse wanted to go over the rail. This is a horse that was lugging in so badly. Had a lot of momentum. And 7-pound Bug Boy. He was doing everything he could to keep this horse from interfering. He had to survive an inquiry. He did come in like 2.5 pads. But you got to watch the head on. I thought this was an absolutely Herculean effort by a 7-pound buck, Manny Giles at Hawthorne. Back after this, Rich Migliori.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner and breeder and stallion owner and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing till now. tell all your friends. And to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The event center that is now virtually everything's, at least the tables and the chairs have all been gathered, and now they're getting all the other accessories out of here. The National Horse Players Championship in the books, and got plenty more to digest yet, but right now Rich Migliori winging his way to Albany for the rally in support of the NYRA effort to include a sizable loan to the association for the remodeling of Belmont. And Richie, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It was fun to be able to listen to you and Carlo. I think he's such a progressive, forward thinker, and obviously his business acumen kind of has his mind open to solutions to problems that, our game, I think, gets caught in, well, that's how it was always done, you know, where we need to evolve constantly.
He's got a fresh perspective and a business, you know, a businessman's approach to things that just is refreshing.
Absolutely. Usually on Mondays, like, I'm in my barn and I don't have, you know, satellite radio in the barn, but being in the car heading to Albany for this rally gives me the luxury of being able to listen to you. And I just, you know, I haven't talked to Carlo myself in a long time, so I'm very happy for his stakes win and you know, thankful to listen to you guys.
Well, and you know, the story itself to me is remarkable. It's obviously a family that's very important to him. The mayor, Hey Jude, that was, you know, the dam of Little Mike and Little Nick, and now here's her last foal ends up being a stake winner after almost literally 2.5 years on the sideline. It's a real success story.
Oh, it's incredible. But you know, talking about having the ability, you know, the being blessed to be able to be in a position to give the horses that much time. And listen, Carlo has always looked after his horses first. Their well-being is paramount to him. And I'm going back several years now. Got a call that a horse was in a place up near New Paltz. It wasn't a great situation, so I went over there. I found out it was Little Nick on Christmas Eve. And I called Carlo, and we got a van, and we got him out of there. We brought him to my place first, and then he went up going to Aikendale. And, it, you know, a little nickname for his son had gotten claimed along the way and wound up in a less than ideal situation. And in the ice storm, we got a van and got him out of there on Christmas Eve. And, you know, no hesitation on his part. Whatever it takes, let's do it. You know, that to me speaks volumes about when somebody really cares about their horse. They don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk.
Now, Carlo is a terrific asset, and this whole move to Kentucky with the restaurant, and now there's going to be three of them. He talked about it for years, and a lot of people kept asking him to bring a better Italian food to Kentucky, and he's done it, and he's expanding rapidly. So kind of a cool story, and good to connect.
A little better than Ramon.
I lost you here a little, Rich.
I think I'm in a better spot. I said a little better than Romano's Macaroni Grill.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Well, Rich, I, if you were listening, you also heard me talk about the jock and that won the race for them. And it's a funny aside because you look at a day like Saturday where some of the big names at a colony are out of town, and you end up getting literally a Hall of Fame ride from, you know, somebody that is probably 11th or 12th in the room.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, it's an opportunity, right? You get an opportunity like that, you make the most of it. He's out there, you know, proving something, you know, where other guys maybe wouldn't have taken the same risk set that he took. But I didn't see the race, to be honest. I can't wait to watch the replay.
Well, and the kid, you heard me right as I was going to the break. I would love for you, I'll send you a link, I would love for you to see this Manny Giles, a 7-pound bug boy, put in an incredible effort to keep a horse from literally, you know, diving over the rail. The horse was lugging in so badly, and good job by the stewards not to take him down. He did come very close to the horse on his inside. It came over about 2.5 paths, but I put up a tweet and I said, I hope they don't take this kid down, because what he did was really professional, and I was very impressed. It's just funny how you look up and you see a race and you see literally 30 seconds of a performance, and you can be impressed with somebody's horsemanship.
Well, and you know, making the effort goes such a long way in stewards' minds. Even if you did shave somebody, but you were doing your best not to. And you know, I know Stephen DeMauro, one of the stewards there at Gulfstream. You know, he's a guy who knows, you know, watches a race properly and knows when somebody's making a real effort. And I gotta watch. You know, again, I've been off. I go back to work next Saturday, so I've been watching as closely. I did watch the Derby preps. But I'm not, like, locked in on everything right now.
Well, let's talk then about Tappet Trice, because right away, you know, seconds after the race was over, everybody's anointing him as, you know, as the next big thing. And it's not that it wasn't a good effort. It was a good effort. It seems like a very nice developing horse. But the race was slow, and it feels like it's a lot to ask or expect that this horse is going to, you know, be able to develop on time and be ready for, you know, the kind of effort it takes to be competitive in the Derby.
Well, I am always a bit amused at how, you know, declarations are made, you know, this early about horses. Either way, you know, that they're, you know, oh, that's my Derby horse, or that's the horse, you know, and how great he is, or yeah, he's got no chance. They're young horses. They're changing. They're developing right now. He's obviously a horse with a lot of ability, but he also needs to mature mentally. You know, he just seems like he doesn't have the best focus. And the fact that he kind of lags a little, I love the way he finished. I like the fact that he came home his last three furlongs slightly faster each furlong. He's got a pedigree. But I love how people want to go at it, like, right now. You know, somebody says how impressed they were, and then someone's got to jump in and say how unimpressed they were. You know, what do we say? Horses, you know, people have opinions. Horses have the answers.
Well, I should pull up the formulator chart, and because I had not had a chance to look at the splits, and now I am curious. I did want to do that. Here we go. What, as I do this, Rich, what What do you do with a horse like this that essentially is it's not that he's breaking badly, maybe a half step, but he's losing touch with the field early. He's not able to keep up early. Yeah, we're back. I think. I don't know if Casey took the. Casey, did you go to a break, or are we? You have us on. We lost electric for a second.
I can hear you, Steve.
No, I know. It's a question of whether Casey sent it to break or not, but I think we're all right. Essentially, he's not breaking. You know, with the field, and then he lets the field, you know, kind of run away from him before he settles, and that's going to cost him, Rich, at some point. I mean, what can Todd do to improve that?
Well, the one race at Gulfstream did lay up a bit closer, and, you know, when we talk about bicycle horses, he's a bicycle horse. I mean, if Luis Saez wasn't pedaling, he wasn't running. I mean, he just had to continually, you know, remind him of his job, and that's when I talk about focus. He's not locked into his job yet. Some horses never do. I mean, you know, he's young. There's a big possibility. That was his fourth start, right?
Yeah.
So he could still, I think, you know, get that, catch up mentally to his physicality. I mean, he's got a lovely stride. His mechanics are great once he gets into a stride. But it could just be, you know, mental immaturity. You know, listen, with his pedigree and he gets points, you know they're going to press on to the Derby, whether that ultimately he's ready for that or not. I mean, I would think that there's, you know, I'm skeptical. I mean, that's the best way to put it. But at the same time, he's the kind of horse that has tipped his hand that he has ability. Maybe he's just going to be more of a second half of the year kind of horse. Yeah, I used to, when I was riding a lot for John Kimmel, we had the Wheel Away, and I contended after he won the Tampa Bay Derby that if we kind of waited and went the second half of the year, like Belmont Stakes, Travers, he would have been a major contender with that three-year-old group. You know, we pressed on to the Derby, he ran well in the Derby, but ultimately I think it prevented him from becoming the horse that I think he could have been.
Well, the other thing that I could possibly suggest too, Tampa, you know, Tampa's a quirky surface. The ground can kind of have a tendency to break away from under you. It might have taken him a couple of jumps, extra jumps to get into stride as well. So there's a few things probably at work. I'll be curious what Todd's read is on this.
Yeah, I mean, again, too, they're changing. Who knows over the next few weeks out of this race? I mean, you know, go back to Charismatic. He ran in a claiming race before he won the Kentucky Derby in previous. And when he won the Lexington, he had changed. I mean, you could see him blossom in front of your eyes. It's a high school athlete, and the best kid starting high school in whatever sport is not always the best kid, you know, finishing high school, and they're changing, and, you know, horses change quicker than people because, obviously, you know, from two to three, the way they change, and then early in the three-year-old year, so it's going to be interesting to watch, but that's why, I get abused at, you know, big declarations right now. We've still got plenty of time.
Well, he's also, given Todd's success at the Belmont, and given the Tappet heritage, and Tappet's amazing record, progeny in Belmont, maybe go in that direction. But you got to feel like Mandy Pope has put so much in that if this horse, you know, can take another step forward, you got to believe they're going to run in the Derby as suggested.
Yeah, and listen, she deserves those opportunities. Like you said, what Mandy Pope has invested into this game and the passion that she shows for it, absolutely, 100%.
Rich, you're making your way toward Albany. Let's touch on the activity today, the rally, bringing people up from Belmont, and what... you know, what can you tell us that we can expect today?
Well, I'm going to show my support for New York Racing, the New York Horsemen, and for a new modern Belmont Park. I mean, you know, we have this amazing old facility, but it's a cavernous old facility that is not suitable for racing when the weather is inclement. So, I have seen and feel the buzz around Belmont, you know, particularly with the UBS Arena being built and, you know, the changes, you know, the pony track now being synthetic. And so I just think that it could generate a lot of interest, a lot of excitement. And I don't think anybody should, you know, like I hear people, especially social media, oh, they're throwing money away at the state. It's costing taxpayers. It's a loan that will be paid back in full. And it's going to help the local economy. And you think about the thousands of jobs that are created because of thoroughbred racing. And I see it around me, from feed stores to blacksmiths to veterinarians, you know, on and on and on. You know, it's short-sighted to say that it's, you know, taxpayers' money. It's an investment into the community that ultimately helps the taxpayers.
There's no doubt, and the fact that it has to be reminded, the public has to be told repeatedly to offset the misinformation that opponents. I mean, I don't know how anybody opposes what there is to oppose.
Well, I had one guy on social media coming at me, and he's an owner. It's ridiculous. They've got to. You know, expand Saratoga. Well, what does that have to do with a new Belmont? You know, and the vitriol that starts, like, and coming at me, I said, like, first of all, I don't make policy. Those aren't my decisions, but I do know this. I know that this will be good for New York racing and New York horsemen in general. So why would you oppose something that's just going to make the game healthier in our state?
Well, it... What does Saratoga have to do with the future of racing downstate?
Well, no, was adamant that, well, Saratoga has to be expanded. They have to run in September in Saratoga. And I think about the people that leave their homes and they got kids going back to school. I always feel bad they get back in the day after Labor Day, most of them. And how difficult that's got to be for them, you know, to get their kids back in a routine and, you know, but no, we've got a race up there, you know, more months. Listen, I love Saratoga. It's one of top five places to me in the world. I could easily live there, but I think you've got to be realistic about what an even further expanded meet would be there.
There's no expanding. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. First of all, there'd be no personnel. There'd be no teachers and no college kids and high school kids to work the racetrack. The impracticality involved here of people's expectation that we should have Breeders' Cups at Saratoga. The whole thing is so stupid, it's mind-boggling.
It really is. It's, but you try to be logical until you get to a point like, back off me, man. Like, what, you know, you try to have an intelligent conversation, and then people just are blinded by what they think is correct.
Well, they want to manifest it somehow. The reality is, there's racing from September to July downstate, and it's ultimately going to be at one facility. That's been that has been known for 20 years, and the execution has to begin. It can't wait any longer, and it's not like anybody's being asked to go into their pocket. It's just ridiculous. They're just asking the state to float you a loan. That's all it is.
Yeah, and listen, I applaud our governor. She gets it. She understands what needs to be done and how it's going to have a positive impact. And again, the economic impact on New York State that people maybe just don't really wrap their head around from, you know, horse farms and the people employed there and it, the fingers that spread out as far as, you know, again, feed stores and, you know, guy I buy my hay from and on, tax stores. It's incredible. Thousands and thousands of jobs are created and are maintained because of horses and racing in the state of New York.
No, that part of it, nobody should. I mean, anybody.
But they do, Steve. I know.
It's exasperating.
But that's why I felt it was important for me to come up here today. I mean, listen, I'm also fortunate. I live about an hour and 10 minutes from Albany, so it's not like, you know, huge, you know, hike for me. I got to kind of figure out exactly where I'm going. I found a nice parking spot for my car, but I know I'm right near the Capitol.
It's tough to miss that building. Well, do you want want me to let you go?
Yeah, you know, let's wrap up because I want to kind of get there. I got to talk to some people there, and I'll let you know how it goes. I'm sorry for the ambient noise there.
No, it's fine.
And rushing you today. But
no, it's good.
All right, I'll catch up with you.
Rich Migliori, everybody. Mig4450 on your Twitter and at the rally at the Capitol today in Albany. It'll be interesting to watch for the reporting that gets generated out of here. I mean, as we talked over the last couple of weeks, and actually it came up during the NHC coverage, the misinformation and the mischaracterization of what this project is preposterous. It's amazing that you can't have just an honest dialogue. You want to oppose and you want to say you don't approve of, you know, government, the state government assisting. It's not even like you're asking. It's not asking the state to hand you $500 million just out of the goodness of their hearts. Incredible. And then the misuse, it's not even a misuse, it's the abuse of what was created as part of the VLT program going back. That they're without aqueduct and without the Racing Association, there wasn't going to be a foothold to establish gaming in the state of New York. And as part of it, a percentage of the VLT revenue was going to go to the New York Racing Association. It's not a subsidy. They love using that term. It's a stipend. It's a percentage. It's a tithe, as they call it, and well deserved. And you know, part of the establishment of gaming in the state. It's amazing that, you know, there's an approach to this that wants to simply, you know, ignore the history involved. The $30 million loan that was part of the franchise agreement, that was repaid. I obviously am closer to it and have tracked the history of this over the years, so it's more irksome to me maybe than it should be, but as I said yesterday, propping up a dying industry, it's just unbelievable. It's ridiculous. So appreciate everybody that is taking the time to go to Albany today. And if I had been home, we'd be there too. Although I could have done the show from down there, actually, now that I think about it. That might have been fun. If there's another rally, we'll do the show from there. All right. Reaching for Graham Motion, and we have got Graham Motion. Good morning. I can, yeah.
Thank you.
Hold on one second. Can you hear me?
No, you're good. I hear you.
Hello,
Graham.
Yes.
There we go. How you doing?
Sorry. Yes, I think my wife's Bluetooth was picking it up. Sorry.
There's always that awkward moment between the time that you're talking on the phone and the time that it goes through the dashboard of the car.
Exactly.
On the Bluetooth. Well, Graham, we have to reach out to you. The performance on Saturday at Tampa, and this was such a fun race. Mission of Joy. There's a lot to talk about. You're not somebody that we discuss the wagering with too often, but this was such a fun race to handicap. Talk about her development and, you know, what you were looking for going in.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I felt that she belonged. I loved her draw. I had a feeling she'd be somewhere 9-12 to 1. And I honestly can't tell you I expected her to perform the way she did. So I was a little surprised. I thought there was a very good chance she would be right there. But I couldn't have imagined her winning the way she did. And actually, I think they bet her down to 5-1, didn't they, in the end?
They did. And as it happens here I'm still in Vegas at the NHC, and this was a race that got a lot of attention because there was going to be prices. And she and Alphabella kind of looked very similar. I mean, yes, Alphabella had the stakes placement, but they really were not, they didn't seem too far apart. And so people were watching their prices, and at one point you were about 4 times the price, and then, started to come down. You were as high as 8 or 9 to 1, and then started to, come down toward Alphabella, and it ended up being the two of you in the end anyway.
Interesting. Yeah, obviously I didn't follow that closely, but I knew there was a big change from, right before they went in the gate to the price that she actually went off at. I was aware of that, actually, because my daughter bet the race, of all things. So,
well, she's become, let's be honest, she'll be here in Vegas at the NHC at the rate she's going. I watched what happened. We were sitting a couple of tables apart Pegasus Day, and the Motion family was firing.
Yeah, no, it certainly raised her level of interest.
That's great. This is a I don't want to call her a remnant. That's kind of a cruel term, but she is on the tail end of the great Samson Farm legacy, from one of the good female families, a Kitten's Joy, and yet this was a very modest purchase.
Yes, definitely, and I can take absolutely no credit for the purchase. She was sent to me on Niall Brennan's recommendation. He broke her,
And, you know, the first time I ran her up at Woodbine, obviously it was kind of a no-brainer to go up there and get her started. I thought she'd done enough, but obviously she hadn't. She actually got quite sick after her first start and missed, you know, a fair amount of time. You know, and we had the idea of bringing her down to Florida. I thought Tampa would be a better fit since she'd been so disappointing for a start. It's also somewhere where I like to train. I just think it's a good track to train on. And you know, as my assistant said to me after the race on Saturday, she's kind of won every time the same way, very comfortably, even though, you know, we've raised the stakes each time.
Ryzen Sun Racing. Tell us about this owner.
Yeah, so they're a group that are in this filly together. I believe they're brothers. And this is the first horse I've had for them. So I'm very fortunate that they decided to send me the horse.
When did Saul and his people come in?
So I think, yeah, so Ryan Zabrowski and his brother, I think, you know, Saul, obviously through John Panagot, who represents him, they pursued her after her maiden win. We had quite a few calls after that, and, you know, John was able to get something done. So, you know, they have Saul has a knack for getting involved in these horses, and I'm glad to see. And so are the Zabrowskis. They're very happy to have him along. So,
well, this progress, I've made the point Saturday during the radio coverage of the NHC, and then this morning again, there were three races in a row. This race, then there was Tappet Trice, and then there was Carlo Bacca Races win in the Captiva Island, that were all three identical scenarios. Horses that are on three race win streaks that culminated with a stake win.
Interesting. I always get nervous when I'm in a race that's involved in one of these handicapping contests, because you feel a certain amount of responsibility. So that's an interesting scenario.
Well, a lot of people were quite pleased with this result, and Antonio Gallardo, who you seem to, you know, when you're running at Tampa, he's become kind of a go-to for you of the local riders.
Listen, I think he's a rider that probably could ride anywhere if he wanted to. He's very solid at Tampa and our local tracks and, you know, on the East Coast in the summer. There was some talk of replacing him with one of the out-of-town riders, but I felt that he had a lot of confidence in the filly. Actually, Paula Bacon, his agent, was telling me after the race that he said to her the night before, he said, this filly's going to win tomorrow, and she didn't really believe, you know, that. Where the confidence was coming from. But there's something to be said for that when somebody's got that much confidence in a horse. And I thought he gave her a very patient ride. You can say he was wide on the turn, but I think that was only because of his patience, and I think it paid off.
Well, and you know, that's a tricky, you know, with the shoot and being on the inside and having to, you know, you want to save ground, but you got to find position and give yourself some options. Whenever you have one of those shoots and there's that opening that, you know, I don't know what it is. I think it helps to have somebody local that, you know, that knows their way around that oval.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said for that.
Well, now there's, you know, there's obviously a big array of three-year-old filly turf options. She takes a step forward as well, you know, from a figure standpoint. Graham, 71 in the allowance win, and now an 81 in this on the buyer scale. How hardy is she? How often do you expect her to run? And what kind of targets?
I mean, one thing about her is that we have spaced her races out. She's not a real big filly. I would imagine we could come back at Keeneland in 4 weeks, or we could go to Churchill in what would be more than 4 weeks. It would be closer to six or seven, I guess.
That's the Edgewood?
Yes, I think that could be a good option. But, you know, I think the end goal will be to get her up to Canada for the big race up in Canada.
Woodbine Oaks.
Correct.
Well, and of course, if you do well in the Woodbine Oaks, there's only Well, I was going to say, I can't call it the Queen's Plate anymore. How'd you like to? How would you like to win the first King's Plate in I don't know, 80 years?
That's pretty cool. I hadn't actually thought about that.
Right.
It's a race we've tried to win before, and I think it's one of those races that's, you know, any of these races that has some history behind it, I think those are bucket list races. So, you know, being the King's Plate, it would be extra special.
Well, and it hadn't occurred until Woodbine announced it. I don't think it had occurred to many people that they were going to have to shift back to the moniker of a King's Plate rather than the Queen's Plate after three quarters of a century. And it's actually kind of cool. Mission of Joy, Kitten's Joy out of Smart Mission. This is the family of Irish Mission and French Beret and the dam hanging on a star. One of the great families, of course, family that I actually have an interest in because it goes back to Comet Shine, the Fappiano cult that contributed. We've got Aus-Sable Chasm, who got Carlisle Bell, and Aus-Sable Comet Shine was the broodmare sire of Aus-Sable. So this is a family that I've got an appreciation for too. Mission of Joy. Graham, catch up on some other activities as well, and getting to be that time of season when you got to pull out the condition books, get ready to make that transition. You mentioned Churchill and Keeneland, of course. What do you got coming up?
Yeah, look, I mean, we've got some nice horses working down in Florida. Obviously, Spenderella would be top of that list. I'm excited about how she's coming along. Could easily see her in the Jenny Wiley. If not, she would go to Churchill. Speaking Scout, similar situation. He could go to Keeneland for the Maker's Mark, or he could go to Churchill for the the Woodford Reserve, I believe it is. So, you know, we've got some other Euros coming along, which I'm excited about. So hopefully things are going to start picking up, and Mission of Joy kind of got us started.
Very nice. Spenderella's doing well?
I'm pleased with her. She worked her first proper 5/8 yesterday, 101 and change. So I think, you know, so far so good. We're on target.
Well, we got to ask about a couple of horses that are coming up on the maiden front, and I have tremendous interest in Rugula that is making the debut this week. For those that over the years, you've certainly heard me refer. My grandmother made a Rugula that is the gold standard. There's quite a few that come close, including down in Florida that the boys. In Delray, the boys, the Rugula there is outstanding. There's the bakery up in Troy. Their Rugula is out of this world. The interesting question I've got, Graham, is has Aaron Wellman or Gary Barber explained to you what Rugula is?
So you really got me curious now, because A, I've been pronouncing it wrong, and B, I've never tried it. So clearly I'm going to have to do that.
Well, Rugula is a rolled cookie. It's a kind of a nice bite, sour, typically a sour cream tinged dough that is then filled with chocolate cream, apricot, raspberry, cinnamon and walnuts. Those are the superfecta fillings of Rugula. It's maybe the best cookie there is. It's a highly underrated, you know, baked good treat. And now I'm obligated to get you some good Rugula.
I'm definitely gonna have to try it.
Well, it's gonna be very amusing to have you interviewed after maiden wins and to hear how. It's going to probably take you some practice. Rugula.
I have to admit, I had it completely wrong.
What have you been calling her?
I've been saying Rugalich.
Well, that's cute. that's, I,
I can't believe Aaron has never straightened me out.
Well, I was going to say Aaron or Gary Barber could have given you some help. Maybe they were hoping. Maybe they were waiting for you to be interviewed and to say it, and it would be a moment of levity on a telecast.
Most likely.
This is a twirling candy that is going to debut on Saturday in the fifth. And actually, that's interesting because we had Carla Vacarezes in this race with that Royal Blood making a debut as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a filly that we picked up at OBS last year. She's done well, had a few little issues along the way that cost her some time. Nothing major. She had a wound that didn't heal very well in a hind leg at one point. But she's done well. She's done well in Florida. She seems pretty precocious. 5/8 is quick, you know, especially for me at Gulfstream. It's a first run race. I kind of like that she's drawn on the outside. I don't really mind it. I think that might make it a little easier for her, although 12 horses going 5/8 on the Gulfstream turf course.
Yeah.
Anything could happen, right?
Yeah, you got Paco Lopez, so you know you'll get a hustling ride.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's not a bad thing to have Paco aboard for sure.
She was 150,000 at OBS last March, and
we actually have a sister called Mia Martina, who's a very different type of filly from this filly.
Really? Oh, the 2-year-old
older filly who's been running longer distances.
Interesting. How long did it take to break her maiden?
She was a purchase by Aaron, I believe, out of a Tampa race or possibly a Gulfstream race.
Well, here she is.
And then I think she broke her maiden next time out, I think.
Interesting. She does have a 2-year-old behind her by DeMarchelier. And then there's a yearling by Frosted, and she has not reported a foal yet. This is a proud citizen filly, and there is turf in the family because that second dam was Dynaformer.
There you go.
Interesting.
So while we're talking about time.
I did get a muffin, which the other day John Nichols, Clocker John, got me this French toast muffin from the cafe here at Horseshoe. And I actually, when I got coffee this morning, I did get another one of them. and I'm not typically a muffin guy or you know, too much pastry, but I knew I wasn't going to have an opportunity otherwise because I'm in a completely empty ballroom here, Graham. This is always a desolate morning for me after the big weekend.
So no buffet for you.
Oh, no. There's no opportunity. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, though, here at the contest there was. But, no, I'm on my own and making my way home finally. I should tell you, you mentioned 3-year-olds getting started, and I don't know if I told you or if I haven't given you an update, but our Irish War Cry filly is inching closer to her debut.
Terrific,
and she's nice. She's got one little thing that's sort of nagging at her that delayed us a little bit. But you might also, I don't know how familiar are you with Irish independence.
Not that.
All right. Well, yeah. The Countess Constance is what I named her.
Oh, very clever. Yeah, very good.
Well, she's Irish War Cry. Out of Freedom's Flame.
Okay.
And Countess Constance Markovitz.
Very good.
Yeah, there it is. I guess I'll save that for Brendan Walsh and the.
I'm sure he'll be well up on it.
Graham, I always fun to catch up with you, and delighted for this success. Mission of Joy wins the Florida Oaks and looks like a filly with big upside.
Well, thank you, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Always great. Graham Motion, everybody. And we got a few others that to keep an eye on, most notably Rugala. That's so great. Wait till I got to reach out for Aaron. That is so funny. Yeah, my man Freddie. I should have. Yeah, you're right, Freddie. I should have referred to it as a biscuit. That might have helped him. That might have helped him out. I can't believe that Aaron Wellman wouldn't explain to Graham how to pronounce Rugula. And now I got to figure. You know, I'm coming down to Florida, and I'll be at OBS. But the week after, I'll be in South Florida for Florida Derby. So I will go to the boys. For those of you that know the boys on Military Trail, yeah, the boys. the boys is one of the craziest places. Really anywhere. It started out as a fruit stand. The guys from Jersey bringing down tomatoes. And I don't know how long ago. And then they bought this. It kept growing. And they bought this empty, closed small grocery store on Military Trail. And they turned it into a you know, produce, and then kept adding, you know, baked goods, deli, hotlines, you know, prepared foods, and you take your life in your hands. Every Alta Caca in Boynton Beach and Delray are in the boys, ready to knock you over with their grocery cart. And it's one of those, it's got those little, you know, those little miniature grocery carts that are like a third of the size of a regular cart, and they're, you know, they'll shove you right out of the way. My mother, I remember the first time my mother took me to the boys, she said, "Oh, you've never seen anything like this." And she was right. It is crazy in there. Their Rugula is top notch. But the place I'm starting to refer to in Troy is called, for those of you that come up to Saratoga, there's a artisan bake shop in downtown Troy called Placid Bakers, or Placid Bakery, and their bread is fabulous. They do sandwiches and things. Their Rugula is, right there. Those are the three. My grandmother's from Mayflower Bake Shop in Great Neck, the boys and Placid. Placid's Rugula was a revelation. I mean, just amazing. That I was shocked, actually. Rugula is fun too because it holds its moisture because of the filling, particularly, you know, the jellies, the apricot. Apricot is my favorite, and it's funny. I'll eat a dried apricot. I'll eat apricot in a cookie or in a Rugula, or like in a sandwich, you know, in a finger cookie. But I wouldn't eat an apricot fresh under any circumstance. First of all, what's the point? The thing is, you know, it's the size of a ping pong ball. What do you need with an apricot? You got to eat seven of them. It's like those Moroccans, the Morocs, the you know, the little miniature tangerines. It's like you got to eat six of them to equal one orange. We're gonna head to a break. John White, we'll check in with John. We'll get into the Santa Anita weekend, and actually had a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward already to getting back to Santa Anita. Yesterday, Jose Arias put into the NHC Hall of Fame and spent some time before the ceremony with Big Leo Vukmanovic and James Leal, and familiar faces at Santa Anita at the Eddie Logan Suite, and leaning on the paddock fence on the bridle path to the track. So you come here. One of the reasons you come here, even if you don't qualify, even if you just come to try to make it into the last chance, first chance, you get you basically get to hang with friends. I mean, everybody, there's going to be people you know from whatever racetrack you hang out at and attend regularly. You're going to, if you do get in, you're going to sit at a table, you know, with other friends that either you know from your racetrack circuit or people you get to know. It's amazing on that front. It's one of the things that makes it so special to come here. Well, a last hour to spend at Horseshoe Vegas in the event center that used to be at one time a High Life Fronton. Yep, if you didn't know that. Let's take a break. Come back for hour three, and John White will join us when we return back after this. Sirius XM at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing.